My government's priority is to deliver the United Kingdom's departure from the European Union on the 31st of January. My ministers will bring forward legislation to ensure the United Kingdom's exit on that date and to make the most of the opportunities that this brings for all the people of the United Kingdom.
The Queen was addressing Parliament at the opening of the new session a week after a general election, an election that gave Boris Johnson and his Conservative Party a thumping majority after they campaigned on taking Britain out of the European Union. Rob Watson is the BBC's political correspondent. So, Rob, first point for a U.S. audience, and maybe for me in particular, is that the Queen's speech is not actually the Queen's speech, is it?
Goodness, no, not in the sense that she sits there and writes it and agonizes. What on earth is she going to tell her government to do? Not at all. So it is written for her by the government. But don't forget, in the UK system, she is the head of state. So in the same way, she holds the same role as president, if you like.
Yes, but still, it's confounding to our morning editorial meeting that the Queen's speech, it's actually written by Boris Johnson, and then she utters it as if it's her saying it?
Exactly. So it's written, I'm not sure whether Boris Johnson writes every single word, but traditionally it is written by the government for the Queen, for the monarch to read out. Yeah.
Okay, so what did the Queen, not Queen, say about in her speech, not her speech?
So I guess there were two big things. I mean, the first one, and you wouldn't be surprised to hear this, would you, that she said her government was determined to get Brexit done. That was, after all, Mr. Johnson's famous slogan throughout the recent election campaign. And really what's meant by that is that the UK will formally withdraw from the European Union at the end of January. I'm sure that that is going to happen. And then the UK and the EU will try to negotiate a new relationship before 2020 is out. The other thing, of course, that Mr. Johnson is promising to these more, how should I describe them, working class voters that he managed to gain is that somehow public services would improve in this country. So that's things like education, health, transport, but also somehow without the government borrowing vast amounts of money or taxing people more.
Okay, I'm going to come back to my pet peeve, which is, what if the Queen doesn't like what's in the speech or doesn't believe it? Does she still have to say it?
That's an easy one. That's tough. I mean, that's just tough. She absolutely has to. I mean, there have been periods in history where we've sort of heard, we've never been quite sure that the monarch didn't like something. So I remember as a much, much younger reporter when Mrs. Thatcher was in power and was really dramatically changing the state, privatizing vast swathes of the UK economy, that apparently the Queen thought this was like selling off the family silver, the family jewels. But apart from that, whatever she thought, she just had to get on with it.
Did you see any sneers or growls? Hear any growls from her or anything?
No. I think, is that a reference to the fact that David Cameron, a former prime minister, once said that he heard the Queen purring like a cat when Scotland voted to remain in the UK? Now you're starting to worry me, Carol, that I'm getting into some treasonous territory.
No, this is just something that we just erupted this morning about this Queen's speech, which is not the Queen's speech. But anyway, okay, I want to go back to the other thing, which was a little different this year, is that normally the so-called Queen's speech is a very formal event with gilded carriages and fabulous robes. But there was none of that today. How come?
No, but I mean, look, nobody should be under any illusion. She didn't sort of get on a bike or anything or hail a taxi or do Uber or something and sort of trot along in her raincoat or actually walk. I mean, it would only take about 5 or 10 minutes to walk from Buckingham Palace to Parliament. I mean, by the standards of most, I was about to say, normal people, normal countries, it's still pretty grand. I mean, there are people with trumpets, right? I mean, this is stuff that goes back to the 17th, 16th century and all sorts of people in extraordinary uniforms and someone called Black Rod banging on a door. So don't worry, you know, there was plenty of the kind of the pageantry crazy stuff that we Brits are famous for. It's just that she didn't have a crown on. She didn't have what's known as a sort of formal attire. She just had what is it called? A day suit.
And
I think it was a rather fetching green hat.
Now, with the landslide victory for Boris Johnson's Conservative Party, it seems like the UK has sort of turned a corner. I mean, a week later, what's the mood in the country?
That is a very good question. So I don't think there's any doubt, and you know, regular listeners will know I often describe Britain as being in its most profound political crisis since the Second World War as a result of the deadlock over Brexit. I think it's too soon to say that the UK is somehow out of the crisis, but I think we're in a new phase, and it's certainly a new era. And it certainly feels like a lot of the tension has gone out of the air now, whether that is permanent, whether that'll start up again when Britain starts to renegotiate its new relationship with the European Union in the new year. I simply don't know, Carol, but I know that that is the key question in British politics. Does it all calm down or does it all blow up again?
The BBC's Rob Watson in London. Thanks as always.
Thank you.